Hello and welcome. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and you are listening to This Week in Defunct Games. Obviously, this is your best source for all the retro games, the compilations, the virtual console, the Xbox Live Arcade, and really anything else we can think about that's really, really old. Today is March 22nd, and we have a wonderful show lined up for you today, including Excitebike, a forgotten gem for the Genesis, the goriest game ever to be released on the TurboGrafx-16, and of course, the single best Xbox Live Arcade game since Geometry Wars. We really couldn't ask for a better selection of retro games this week, so sit back, get ready, and enjoy This Week in Defunct Games. So let's start out with Excitebike, which is probably one of the earliest racing games a lot of people remember. Of course, I suppose a lot of people will also remember RC Pro-Am and Rad Racer and a lot of those old NES games, but Excitebike kind of stands out because it's one of those games that still holds up pretty well. You're not going to go back and play Rad Racer with quite the same affection because the 3D effects just aren't very good. And, you know, most of the other racing games, like RC Pro-Am and stuff like that, they aren't very good either. Even if you have fond memories of these games, like most of us do. But there's something about Excitebike that still works, and I suspect it's because of the 2D nature of it. It's unlike anything else on the market. You just don't see Gran Turismo or really any other style of game out there that still works in this strange, like, faux 2D, 3D sort of thing. It's, you know, you're racing from left to right, but at the same time, you can go sort of in and out of the screen and make jumps and do some sort of rudimentary tricks. And it's all very simple, but at the same time, it's all a lot of fun. And best of all, this Virtual Console version comes with, of course, the level editor. But unlike the old NES one, you can actually save the levels because of the suspend mode. And this really makes it worth your $5. And, you know, there are a lot of old NES games, and it's hard to pick which ones you should get. But as far as I'm concerned, this is really one of the best ones out there. And Excitebike definitely deserves your $5. Some people, of course, may complain that it kind of looks outdated, and of course it is outdated. But then again, you know, it's a whole lot more fun than going and playing Excite Truck, and I mean, that's $50. So spend, you know, $5 and have a good time, make a few levels, have some friends over, you know, have a good time. But, you know, don't expect too much. It's only $5, and it's an old NES game, and it's definitely one of the best games of the week. But it's not the best game of the week. Now, before we get to that, we do have to talk about a couple of other games. And one of them is Splatterhouse, which of course was the old arcade port that was released on the TurboGrafx-16. Now, this is probably best known for being one of the goriest, bloodiest games ever made before games like Mortal Kombat and all of those sorts. It's really more or less just a straightforward 2D action game where you control a guy named Rick who gets into sort of this really bad situation where he has to save his girlfriend and this huge mansion with all sorts of worms and, you know, creatures and zombies and all sorts of ugliness. On its surface, it was a pretty standard 2D game. But at the same time, you know, it did allow you to pick all sorts of weapons, like a shotgun, chainsaw, and stuff like that, and shoot and rip into your enemies, which was pretty novel at the time of its release. Of course, here we are 20-some years later, and it's not quite as novel anymore. It just isn't as thrilling to rip into somebody with a chainsaw as it is maybe in, like, Gears of War, and the shotgun isn't as cool as most first-person shooters either. Having said that, there is, you know, a charm to this game. It's simple, even if the controls aren't very good, and, you know, it is a bit of fun, but it's a little hard to recommend, even though I personally think it's a fun game. I think there are a lot of people out there that should be curious, but maybe not curious enough to spend $6. It's times like these that I wish that the Nintendo Virtual Console had, you know, something like the Xbox Live, where you could download a demo of the game and see if you like it. Because, I mean, there are certainly people out there that will get a kick out of this, but I think at the same time, there are a lot of people out there that are going to wonder why this was good in the first place. It's so simple, it's so, you know, it's so short, and it's really short-lived, and I think that's the big problem, and I don't think it's probably worth $6 even now. Having said that, you know, if you can find it out there, you know, if you can download the ROM or have a little fun at a friend's house, or maybe you know somebody that has it, check it out, see if you like it. If you do, spend the $6. It's not a very long game, but, you know, I'm really on the fence with this one. I own the game, so I personally wouldn't buy it, but if I didn't own it, I'm not sure I'd spend the $6. What I would spend the money on is a little game called Beyond Oasis, which was released on the Genesis around 1994. Now, of course, this was at a time when most people weren't really thinking about Genesis games anymore. They had kind of moved on to thinking about buying the PlayStation and the Saturn and maybe even the Nintendo 64, which was called the Project Reality at the time. This was a little game that nobody played and probably nobody's heard of, but what's really great about this game is that it's one of the best 16-bit adventure games out there. It definitely rivals the Zeldas and Soul Blazers and that sort of ilk. What I love about the idea of the Virtual Console is that people are able to find these games that they weren't able to buy or just completely passed over at the time, and they can enjoy them and buy them for, you know, relatively cheap. This is $8, but, I mean, it's worth every single penny. Beyond Oasis, along with Landstalker, proved that the 16-bit Genesis really had a knack for adventure games. And unfortunately, the Genesis wasn't known for its great role-playing games, outside of maybe Phantasy Star and a few others. But this really shows you what the Genesis was capable of. Since this was released late in its life, you'll notice that the graphics are outstanding. Both the graphics and sound are really good, and a lot of time and effort has been put into both. The controls are good, and the story is just, it's engaging all the way through. There's just no doubt about it. You're going to have a great time from beginning to end. I won't ruin the story, because there are some nice twists and surprises, and a pretty likable main character that I think you're going to fall in love with. This is the kind of game the Virtual Console was made for. This is a game that you probably didn't play to begin with, but I liken it to finding a brand new Zelda game that, you know, you missed a long time ago. It's really on par with Zelda 3. And, you know, I think that this really is the kind of game that everybody should spend their money on. Even if you've never heard of it, take a chance on it. You're really going to love it. And I think that you're really going to thank me for it. This is definitely, definitely worth purchasing. So we've had a chance to look at our appetizers, but now how about eating the main course? I'm of course talking about Symphony of the Night, which is the sixth and best Castlevania game. This release was 10 years old. It came out back in 1997 and is being re-released for its 10th year anniversary on the Xbox Live Arcade. Best of all, it's only $10. It has slightly upgraded graphics and of course achievement points, but forget the achievement points and the slightly enhanced graphics. Castlevania Symphony of the Night is just easily one of the best games ever made. It's in my list of the top 10 or 20 best games of all time. It's the game that reimagined the Castlevania series, turning it from a level-based game to a whole, like, Metroid-style adventure where you were free to roam around an entire castle. And And best of all, it did a lot of things that no other game was doing at the time. I mean, it's not just that you could morph into animals and there were a lot of abilities and magics that you could find. It's also the fact that, you know, you could beat the game and not really beat it. There's a halfway through the game you'll find that you can play against the last boss, but if you don't do that and you go a little further, you can actually play the game the whole level reversed, you know, like it's upside down, which is really, really cool, and I think it took a lot of people by surprise. And it's amazing how well this game, even 10 years later, holds up. It's still one of the best playing games on the Xbox Live Arcade, and it looked fantastic. And I'm not just talking about the fact that it has slightly upgraded graphics. You probably won't even notice that. I mean, you can turn it off and on, but it doesn't make a huge difference. But every aspect, every little inch of this game is perfect, and that's what makes it one of the best games of all time, and that's why you should spend all $10, or 800 Microsoft points, on this game. Believe it or not, I've actually had quite a few people write to me and ask if the game's still going to be good with the analog stick, because, of course, the original game was using the D-pad. You can still use the D-pad, but it just isn't the same. It's really cool to use the analog. It fits perfectly, and you really won't even notice a change. It's really such a solid game that, and you know, the level designs are fantastic. The bosses are really cool, and I guess the only problem I really have with it, and that they didn't address, is the translation. I mean, some of the dialogue is absolutely horrible. I mean, beyond comprehension horrible. The localization in the game is terrible. But of course, that isn't going to change in this version, but up in the PSP version that's coming out here, it's the Rondo of Blood collection that's coming out, I guess, this fall, you're going to find that there's a new localization, some new voice acting, and maybe even a few extra secrets. I'm not sure if the graphics are going to be upgraded. They say they won't be, but I think that Konami has a few things up their sleeve. Having said that, if you can't wait until fall, and I don't blame you, then pick this game up. It's only $10, so, you know, even if you do intend on picking up Rondo of Blood, this is really such a good game that it will whet your appetite, and it will remind you just why the Castlevania series is still going, and is still as good as ever. I will admit that the last couple games haven't been as good, but Symphony of the Night will remind you why this series should remain and why you're going to look forward to the next one, regardless. Finally made it through all of our games, and I'd like to mention that I know some of you are probably getting kind of bored of listening to me just rattle on with, you know, music interludes and not much else going on, but I am doing what I can to improve that. I'm thinking about bringing on some special guests, like I mentioned last week, and having a nice debate over some of these games. Hell, maybe we'll even make a theme show and discuss real topics. You know, you'll have to just stay tuned and find out. But in the meantime, I do have a letter that comes via email from a gentleman named Steve Watkins. He says, "Hey, Defunct Games, I love the site and I love the new podcast. It's great to have some weekly that relates to these classic games I love so much. But enough butt-kissing, I was writing to ask whether or not you think there's any hope for the Sonic the Hedgehog series. I notice every time you bring up Sonic, you act disgusted, almost as if there's no hope whatsoever for Sega's mascot. What can Sega do to make Sonic the Hedgehog relevant again?" Well, the short answer would be nothing. But you know what? I'm going to actually say that that's wrong. I I've actually been doing a lot of thinking, and I think there probably are some things that Sega can do to make Sonic relevant, or at least make it better. Obviously, the last few Sonic games have been pretty bad. I've, you know, been pretty vocal about those. But if they would take my suggestions, I have an idea that Sega could make the game relevant again. So here's my idea. Instead of just making Sonic level by level like they've been doing, why not put Sonic in this giant world, a la like Grand Theft Auto or Crackdown, this gigantic world where he can run wherever he wants and do whatever he wants. Of course, I'm not saying that he should kill hookers and you know, act like the mob and carjack and stuff like that. I'm not saying that at all, but rather, you know, make these huge levels, make these huge world that you can just run wherever you want, and you can run as fast as you want from one side of the level to the other side, or the one side of the world, or you can do whatever you want. Of course, there can be structure with maybe missions and stuff like that, but my suggestion is just to take the whole world approach and make it so that you can constantly run fast, you can constantly do the things that everybody loves about Sonic, but put it in 3D. And make it non-linear, and I think that's the key. Everybody loves these Grand Theft Auto games, especially if they're done right, but then again, Sega hasn't been known for doing this sort of thing right, but it's worth giving it a chance. I mean, what else are they going to do with Sonic? They've pretty much killed him already. But whatever you do, Sega, don't make him ever again make out with a real woman. That's just creepy. Don't ever, ever do that again. I would like to thank Steve for his question. If you have any questions or comments, I strongly suggest you either head on over to www.defunctgames.com, or of course you can email me at loser@defunctgames.com. That's loser@defunctgames.com. All right, well, I guess that brings us to our very final segment, which is when I select a game or games that I'd like to see brought back either on the Virtual Console or Xbox Live Arcade, or maybe remade altogether. I'd kind of like to see a sequel to some of these games. This week, I actually have two games, but both of them are pretty similar. One is by Capcom, and that's Codename Viper, an old NES game, and the other is Rolling Thunder, a classic Atari game. Now, both of these games are pretty much exactly the same. I mean, they play almost identically. But what's great about these games is that they're slow-moving 2D action games where you obviously move from left to right. But they're done on these two tiers, so that you can jump up way up into the air, and then you can be on the balcony or on a second level, and then you can jump down. Now, that doesn't sound very novel by today's standards, but these games really stood out, especially how the things you could interact with in the levels. Both of these games offered a lot of doors that you could go into and things that you could hide behind, and they were really a lot different from a lot of the old games back in the day. Now, Codename Viper was set in sort of this war-torn world, whereas Rolling Thunder, if I remember correctly, was more of a spy game. Now, both of these games were released on the NES. Rolling Thunder's been on a ton of systems, but of course, the NES version was done by Tengen, because it was an Atari game. I'd love to see both of these games. I remember both of these games well. I still go back and play Codename Viper from time to time. And if Capcom's looking to bring back some of their old IPs, then this, along with, you know, Strider and a bunch of their other games, this should be one of those. And I'd love to see this brought back, maybe in one of their classic collections or something like that. Capcom recently did sort of a mini collection for the Game Boy Advance that, you know, featured the NES version of Strider and I think Final Fight Max, and I don't know, something like that. And, you know, some really old NES games. But Codename Viper is one of those games that you don't see represented well. And at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if nobody actually remembers it, but I still own it, I still love it, and along with Rolling Thunder, those are the games I'd like to see brought back, either on the Virtual Console, Xbox Live Arcade, or hell, you know, why not just give us a sequel? Why not give us Codename Viper 2 or Rolling Thunder 2? Actually, there was a Rolling Thunder 2. You know, it's actually a pretty interesting story because they released Rolling Thunder 2 and 3 on the Genesis, and of course, the same company released Splatterhouse 2 and 3 on the Genesis. So I guess it all connects. And the sequels of Rolling Thunder 2 and 3 weren't as good as the original, but it was nice to see them expanded, and I'd like to see a nice collection. So somebody, if you're listening, bring these games back. I love Rolling Thunder, and I love Codename Viper, and those are my selections for this week. If you want to learn more about these games, I suggest you head on over to defunctgames.com, and really, if you're looking for articles, videos, more podcasts, or just me, more of me in general, then really head on over to defunctgames.com. This is the end of our show. I don't have anything more for you. I want to thank Konami for giving us the music. It was all Castlevania music for this episode. I appreciate that. I love my Castlevania. And, you know, we'll be back next week with hopefully more games, assuming that Microsoft, Nintendo, and all of the third parties actually release something. I don't know what they're going to release. I can't wait to find out. Until then, I appreciate you listening. So keep smiling, and I'll see you next week.